there's been hundreds of them of Blake.
Oh yeah.
And the one that the way the guy said it was, he said, you know, it would have been wonderful if Blake had been properly trained in the classical tradition and had been part of that weird Swedenborgian sect.
That's too bad he said that, but go ahead. Well, yeah, but this is one critic.
I don't know who it was. And they said because you know, William Blake, because he had been raised within the Swedenborgian sect, felt that he needed to rebel against it. And you can see that, particularly Songs of Innocence, and, are definite jabs at the puritanical New Jerusalem Church version of Swedenborgian.
Well, he was raised a dissenter, what's called a dissenter.
Yes.
In England. And amongst the dissenters, there were many sects, S-E-C-T-S.
Right.
Because he
deals
with SEX a lot.
Yeah, well, he dealt with SEX.
Oh, Tux.
Apparently, he liked to be skyclad a lot.
Pardon me?
He
liked to be?
Skyclad.
Naked. Nude.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Indeed, he did. There's a story of he and his wife sitting in their yard, stark naked, and people passing by and so on and so forth. Yeah,
yeah.
He did. He loved to be naked. But Peter Ackroyd has written a wonderful biography on Blake. But I also like the ones that go more extreme. He was a Gnostic. There's no Ackroyd does not use that term, but he believed that Jehovah was the bad God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's definitely part of the prophetic books. Yeah.
Your reason, right?
Yeah, and that was right. The sort of Promethean, misbegotten, misleader.
What I love about Blake is that, and now in Moore and these comics, Blake was like the original fine graphic artist, graphic comic artist, and serious as well. I mean, I've seen some of his works when they had the Blake at the Met.
Actually, I saw him with the Tate.
Oh, did you? It was closed when I was in London. The Blake galleries. But I was upset about that. But at any rate, you know, I do have the Erdman editions.
Uh-huh.
Of his
artwork, yeah.
Yeah, but he's very interesting in terms of just the whole comic structure and the intertextual and all of this, because he repeated his motifs throughout his lifetime.
Sure.
And he was a populist. He didn't go for classical music. He loved the popular music of his time. And his lyrics, his poems, are literally based on the cadence of these popular songs.
Yeah, the balance, yeah. And yeah, I mean, actually, Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright in the Forest of the Night became a popular ballad during his lifetime and was sung all over England. Specifically that one. There were variants in the way the verses ran, because it did get picked up in the popular war. But, so a number of his songs, particularly again from the songs of Experience and Innocence, were picked up as, were obviously singable.
He would never have been a Wiccan or a nature witch, so to speak, because he thought nature was the enemy. That this is the fallen
and that makes
world.
Him more, that, and that makes him, in a certain sense, a classic Gnostic.
Yes, in a certain sense. But it's ironic that Ackroyd, who knows about all this, mentions Gnosticism only maybe once or twice.
Well, I mean, actually, if you want to be accurate with religious studies, is the term Gnosticism as a complex of ideas. Has served its purpose and is now being whisked away as outmoded and no longer serving a useful function in terms of actually studying the religions of the second and third century, which is when...
What is more helpful?
Well, what they've done is they've gone from lumping, which is what the term Gnosticism is, the lump term. In other words, a bunch of different things are covered. Many sins are covered with this term.
Yeah.
skepticism, some of which are diametrically opposite, and even the same group would not necessarily hold them. And then they've gotten to be splitters. So there's an extreme one place which is, deals with this really great is a history of the Sethian views.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I could send you the bibliography of this thing if you would be interested. I've got it in the next room. What it is, it's an extremely readable history of a certain part of Gnosticism, but it also brings it up. I guess it's about 5-6 years old now.
Not that I agree with Blake entirely or anyone, but he was eclectic and he was brave and he was a true visionary. He did see spirits. He was a medium. And
yeah,
he consulted with his brother all the time. And the idea with image and imagination was huge with him. Now, the exact context of his meaning is hard, you know, to translate through time. But he believed in the God of the imagination. And in that sense, he and Promethea were ideally suited to each other.
He also was in the forefront of women's rights.
Oh, yes. He championed Mary Wollstonecraft. Is that her name, Wollstonecraft? The rights of women, the vindication of the rights of women,
Mary Shelley's mom.
Right. He championed her.
The author of Frankenstein.
Right. He championed her. And it's not too well known how intimate they were. Because he was very, very poor, as was she, but she was sort of a fallen aristocracy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's conjectured that they were in contact with each other, at least socially, on occasion. And he did champion her cause.
Okay. Now we're not reading William Blake. Reading Promethea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's so many connections. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, you know, in terms of the symbolism, and this one is, as I said, has a lot of there's a lot of stuff in here. We probably won't be able to deal with all of it. You get some indications of this in the you know, from the PDF file in terms of how some of this stuff deals with it. I just wanted to read the full title for this chapter. Let's do. We got a couple of other things to do. One, we got to assign gears.
Dan, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I don't mean you specifically. I meant
well, we'll talk later. Let's get on with the...
Okay.
Yeah, so...
I like to do Henry Royce in the first part.
Henry Royce? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll reprise Jack Faust. And
okay.
I guess... There's a number of characters. You want to be John Kendrick Bangs, too?
Yeah, I can do that.
I guess...
Or King Solomon.
Yeah, and you want to be King Solomon?
I'll be King Solomon.
I'll be Philomenius Frog. He's one of the...
lawyers.
Yeah, one of the lawyers. We've got Ball and Brutal. Anybody want to take them? They're the two FBI agents.
I can do them.
Do you want to be, which one do you want to be, Ball or Brugel? Sometimes it's harder than speaking.
I think Ball's a dark haired girl.
Yeah, and the other one's blonde.
Yeah.
And then we have Stacia's mother.
I'll be Stacia's mother.
I might have written that down wrong. Now then there's Trish. Then we've got the two Sophies. We've got Stacia and Sophie. Anybody gonna grab that?
Well,
and then at the end there's texture.
I could be Stacy, I suppose. I don't. But where is she? I'm looking for the chapter. What does she look like now? And then she's changed.
Stacy is.
She's Prometheus. Stacy Prometheus.
She comes in. She comes in during the trial because she is vying with. You know, she comes in. She looks. She's in there.
She with the Eye of Horus on the head, on her forehead. Is that the one?
No, she's got the. She has the longer hair. She's with Grace.
The purple hair? Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah, she's got the purple hair, yeah.
Okay, because I'm getting confused over here. I purposely don't read ahead because I don't want to influence the cutting of the cards. You know what I'm saying?
And I think Jack Faust plays the guy in the hood. I think that's Jack Faust.
Yeah, that looks like Jack Faust to me. Yeah.
Okay, so that I'm
who's playing the crazy judge? My God, that looks like something.
Yes, well, he's a senile.
Oh, is that it? I picked up that one. Now, and who's playing the Promethea with the Eye of Horus on her head?
Well, I think the. The Prometheus, I guess we're just going to have to wing. We just don't have that many people.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And all the characters.
Yeah, who's the long-haired one with the red dress?
That is Sophie. With the braided hair? Yeah, the Eye of Horus, that's Sophie. Sophie Promethea.
That's mm-hmm. Sophie Promethea.
Right.
So in other words, if you're Sophie, you're going to play, you'll also do this, you'll do the Promethea. So, for instance, Grace Dragunov, who is here, would be would have be the same voice as Stacia, just to simplify things a little bit.
Hmm.
And there's other Prometheus show up, including even the weeping gorillas in here.
Yes, so we have to really overlap, but hopefully we'll keep it straight.
We're overlapping a lot.
I don't even see Trisha's mother. Stacia's mother
at the end. She's at the very end.
Oh, it's tiny.
Part.
Well, just if you want me to do something else, just tell me.
Yeah, well, okay. So,
because this is a very confusing.
We have the student boy, we have the student girl, we have Montemar Sykes. I don't mind being him. He's the leader of the limp lead singer. I'll use my baddest voice to do that with.
Mm-hmm.
To begin with, we got Henry Royce. You were going to do Henry Royce, right?
Yeah, I'm going to do Henry Royce.
Okay.
Okay, should we go to the reading?
We figured out that. Let's do the card reading now.
Yeah, okay.
Write that down.
Yeah. Okay, first card, Six of Cups, Pleasure. Second card, Eight of Swords, Interference. Third card, Ace of Swords.
Eight of Swords. The attribute for the
just Ace. It's the Ace of Swords.
Oh, Ace of Swords.
Ace.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have so far Six of Cups. Pleasure, Eight of Swords, Interference, and Ace of Swords, numero uno. Fourth card, Three of Swords, Sorrow. A lot of swords, people.
Well, it makes sense considering what we're doing.
Okay, and...
Oh, true, yeah.
The basis of the hidden motivation, the fifth card, is Prince of Wands.
The princes are kings in the Rider-Waite, right?
No.
No, they're knights.
Knights.
Oh, they're
the princes are the knights. The knights are the kings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have Prince of Wands as the fifth card, hidden motivation.
Uh-huh.
Outcome, art. Which is our temperance.
Temperance, right.
Or right away temperance. Okay, arc of influence. Nine of Cups, happiness. Princess of Cups. And the Empress.
Wow. So we have
the last card was the Emperor?
Empress.
Or Empress.
Yeah.
No pentacles whatsoever.
Right.
Empress.
Mm-hmm.
So a tad ungrounded except for the Empress, perhaps.
Okay. So, Six of Cups, pleasure. Eight of Swords, interference. Ace of Swords. Three of Swords, sorrow. Prince of Wands, art. Three of Cups, happiness.
No.
Nine
of Cups. Nine. Oh, Nine of Cups. Yeah, I wrote down. I don't know why I said three because I'm looking at a nine.
Mm-hmm.
Nine of Cups, happiness. Princess of Cups, and the last one is Empress.
Right.
So we have two major arcana. Which is, you know, which you'd expect from a nine, within the expectations of nine cards to have at least two. And, interesting, no pentacles. Of course, the classic thing here is that this so-called higher court is, you know, not in this world. It's in the immateria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have not. We haven't. We're missing Earth. We're missing the Malkuth because, in some ways, we're not in Malkuth.
Right.
We're in the. We're somewhere else. We're in the area of imagination, which is where all this is taking place. You know, and in some ways, they're having an argument over a kind of Malkuth idea. Which probably shouldn't necessarily be an issue. Now, what I think is interesting is what we really have is we have the first thing, fire, is the Six of Cups, and then we have all these swords following through, particularly interference, the Ace of Swords in the air, so an exalted place. Then the Three of Swords, and then you have the hidden motivation is the Prince of Wands. What would you say the hidden motivation? What would you say characterizes Wands, the Prince of Wands? What would you say is the motives of the Prince of Wands?
Adventure.
Adventure. Maybe. I'm thinking in terms of this thing, sort of wanting to exercise dominance. In other words, it's not from the point of view of being dominant. It's from the point of view of striving to become dominant. You know, it's sort of like the wannabe king.
Mm.
It's like wanting to win and then moving on to the next step.
Six is temperance. Or art, in rightfully so, in the top deck.
Right.
And I see the Prince of Wands, I would look to interpret it as in service to temperance art. So how would, if you conject that the Prince Knight of Wands is in service to art temperance, what would that service be?
That's interesting because you have the two elements. Right. You have the fire. Art is flanked, if you lay out the cards, by fire and water with the Princess of Cups. So, like, that's the marriage. That's the alchemical marriage going on right there.
Right.
Now, when I look at those four cards, four, five, and six, is the Three of Wands, which is sorrow. I've always read that as recognition, recognizing who you are and who I am. And the things that leads right into the Prince of Wands, which, like Paul said, is the sun warrior, and he's looking toward his own domain, so to speak. He's moving into his own light. And
well,
I think he has to move into it with some art and temperance at the same time. I think he has to take his time and be careful.
Yeah, now, like, part of what I'm doing is, I'm reading the lines, particularly after pleasure, as I see it, in this case, the Six of Cups is the first card. I see that in a way as the motive, which is both Sophie and Stacia have pleasure in being Promethea. So then they come to this big fight, you know, this higher court issue.
Right, the physicality.
Which is the interference, the Eight of Swords. And in other words, Ace of Swords, a super conflict. And then the Three of Swords, I think David's commentary on his version of that is, you know, definitely fills out what the swords would mean. And then you have art. Then, as I see, is sort of like the judgment that happens. Because you'll notice that Solomon, as I remember, sort of is like a hanging judge. he's so out of it that he just wants, you know, he wants everybody to, you know, kill them all. You know, simplify my life. You know, look at the day's docket and decide everybody's guilty. You know, and go out fishing. Well, that's my reading of Solomon, but we can see if it's fair or not. So
also about it's the path of honesty, and I think that the prince has to be honest with himself what his goals are and what he wants in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I look at the Six of Cups at the beginning, and that's in the fire position, fire and water together produce a lot of steam and a lot of heat. We're moving into this court case, and I think that interference and power shield and all that stuff is going to be going on. From that court case, they get the Ace of Swords, which is really about the dawning of new ideas. And so something new is coming in. We're going to start to recognize ourselves for who we are, who they are.
What I expected to see was justice, the justice card.
Yeah.
Old Jack Faust doesn't let us down, because if you know, he draws some cards in this thing. And the full reading of this card, which is on page 373 of the PDF, he has the Tower, the Ten of Swords, and the Aeon are the three cards that he's dealing with. Jack Faust's tarot spread. And also, I think there's
a little kind of death, isn't it?
Huh? And a little farther on is adjustment, which I think is the justice card, is also dealt with specifically in this panel.
I also think ending with the arc of influence, those three cards are very positive in my mind.
Yeah.
You have happiness, you have the Princess of Cups, which is to me about love divine.
Right.
And then you have First, which is really about abundance and new growth and fertility. I think it's going to be a happy ending here.
Well, again, in my rigid way of reading the Arc of Influence, I'm thinking about the next chapter in terms of Sophie being on the lam and living a life with a guy she likes, and just sort of live an ordinary life. You know, it's sort of where she's where she's finally getting laid for fun rather than getting laid for magical purposes.
You read ahead.
yeah, that's
The one thing about also the Alice in Wonderland references is the absurdity of the trial. You know, the absurd world.
And partly the way I'm reading the absurd world specifically is assuming traits that are necessary to Malkuth being the same necessity in the imaginary realm or in materia. It's sort of like saying that the same laws that apply in Malkuth have to apply in the in materia. And this is where I see the crux of the absurdity. But let's why don't we read the chapter and see if any of these conjectures actually pan out in the story. So here we are. We will now consider the case of Promethea.
Who is Malkuth?
Burley Drive, New York. Got one of those.
Here's how it is. Earlier today, New York got trashed. You know the culprit. In fact, last year you attempted to have her killed. Oh, so your hit thing told us. Mr. Royce, what do you know about Promethea?
Henry, don't tell them.
Go ahead. Those creatures?
Those creatures. They said if we caused her any trouble...
Prue, it's too late for that. Agents, we represent an ancient organization known as the Temple. For centuries, we've protected mankind from the pagan demoness called Promethea.
Centuries, huh? Mr. Royce, your assassination attempt. How did you find this Promethea?
An elemental creature sniffed her out. She posed as a college student.
We didn't check that. So why is this Promethea so dangerous?
She conjured evil spirits to threaten our grandchildren, she...
Prue, that's enough. Simply put, this woman is an emanation, a lower form, if you will, of the biblical whore of Babylon. She brings apocalypse, she brings the end of the world, the day of judgment.
Promethea, a higher...
So who's talking?
Who's who here?
That's Stacey,
Sophie Promethea?
Yeah.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Bill, what's going on? This looks like a courtroom.
Afraid so, hon. It's fitting to decide which of you two is the official Promethea.
Hey, Grace, how come we're not one person anymore?
It's another Promethea.
We only ever shared a body on the earthly plane, darling. And very enjoyable it is, I must say. Actually, I'm more concerned about finding a lawyer.
Don't worry, Grace. I've arranged one for you. Meet Mr. Philomenus Prague, a barrister from one of my Little Marge stories. This is a joke, right?
Bill, do I get representation too?
Why, of course you do, sweetheart. I already contacted Jack Faust.
Yeah, I'm here, astrally speaking, as it were. Hey, kid, how's it going?
Not so good, Jack. I just came back from the Godhead, straight into all of this.
Yeah, I caught the news. Way to demonstrate enlightenment, Sophie. Come on. We better get you and them two chemist lifers into the dock so we can start this thing.
So this is like a real trial with a judge and everything?
Oh, yeah. See? They got the shade of King Solomon presiding over it. Nothing but the best for these people, I'm telling you.
But he looks sort of like Benny Solomon, that occult gang boss who died?
We could just keep going across. Sure, he looks like that to you because that's who you associate the name with. You know how the immaterial works. Anyway, here's the doc time to join the Weird Sisters.
Why, Mr. Faust, I hardly recognized you standing up, right, darling? Ha! As for you, miss, I went to heaven and all I got was this lousy red moo-moo. Quiet. You were lucky. Our little set to ended when it did, dear.
Quit bluffing, Grace. That soul scream terrified both of us. It's over now, but we did something wrong, Grace. We opened a wound forgotten since the Crusades.
Oh, our disagreement isn't over, precious. It's just moved to a different arena.
Benny Solomon, who's ever going to be Solomon.
Okay, order. This court is now in session. His Worship King Solomon presiding. Thank you. Before we begin, would someone be kind enough to explain the nature of this case to me? This isn't another one of those where I can just order the baby's cut in half, is it?
And that's Phineas
Frog.
Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, I'm Phineas Frog?
Mm-hmm. That's what you said, yeah.
Oh, no, okay, all right. Sadly not, sir. Our clients are successively earthly manifestations of the entity Promethea. What's disputed is which one's entitled to the role. Your worship, my client is the current authorized Promethea, while is merely acted as a caretaker. Move to dismiss.
Mr. Faust, your clients both squabbled publicly over this issue in an inexcusable breach of immaterial protocol. Here today, both sides shall be heard, and the matter decided once and for all by a jury of your client's peers. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, please understand the seriousness of this task before you. You shall decide which of these women is suited to her awesome duty.
Both sides seem to have their good points.
And which must forsake that duty forever? Let the hearing commence. Okay, we're in.
Okay, Paul, I think you're...
No, it's Bruegel and whatever, Bill, or whatever.
Yeah, but I'm singing.
Yeah.
The Emperor's New York Times, they are a change in horses whisper, Lindbergh's baby's blue, his mind out in a car.
You're not going to make American Idol, Paul.
Continue, Paul. There's a little more.
Don't they? That's the next panel.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, and is this the only place we'll find students before college opening tomorrow? Pretty much, you know, Lucille, this is strange. When this place was Trotsky's, with that early Promethea sighting, the same band was playing. Apparently, that was the night their singer had his vision or breakdown or whatever it was. Huh. I guess it's bringing back happy memories for him. So you like Royce's student thing. Oh, I forgot. Also the same.
And did those feet in Pity Lane develop dark satanic blisters? It's just a northern light fantastic voyage of a tourist lore.
It fits. Today's trouble started in the college area. Let's ask those kids over there if... Hey, watch my arm. Sorry.
The long and winding Abbey Road of excess leaps to wisdom in the face she keeps by the door that's ajar.
For federal agents, your students at the college, right? We wondered if you saw this science woman earlier today. Yeah, that was awesome. They, excavated the whole building. Carrie over there, she saw it all.
So come together across the universe, or so far too, with your sister. It's my Northern Lights fantastic voyage to Arcturus Lar.
Yeah, you saw this thing at the college today? Jesus, yeah, it was Dacia Vandeveer and her geeky girlfriend. Vandeveer, like, drew this picture and in her sketchbook, okay? And that changed her into this, like, total Amazon. It was unbelievable.
Lady Madonna, let it be a gently sweep on me guitar. All you need is love. Do you want to dance? Sing, oh, blah.
Hey, I went out with Vandeveer once. Is she an X-File? Phil, where are you going? I'm going to call up what we have on this Vandeveer kid. Known associates, maybe a photograph we can check against security footage.
Prudence in the sky, tigers burning brightly from afar. It's only a northern light, fantastic voyage to Arcturus Lar.
You suck! Where's my Israel? After that, I'm going to need some warrants. And we have an appointment with a judge.
Meanwhile, back in Materia. So then, Herb, I reiterate, Mr. Jonathan Kendricks Bangs, we have heard how your great niece deserted her duties seeking one Barbara Shelley deceased, Herb. Yet, the accomplished, you said, she continued her vacation. Is that correct?
Well, yes, but...
No further questions, Your Worship. Mr. Faust may cross-examine Earp. Yeah, you bet. So, Mr. Bangs, this time you saw your great-niece. She seemed to you like she was stringing out some vacation?
Not at all. Her friend was traveling on alone, and Sophie bravely volunteered to accompany her.
Thank you. No further questions. In that case, call Grace Bragonow and Stacy Vandeveer. Since my clients were effectively one entity during the period, they have elected to share the witness stand.
Do excuse us, darling. I think we're on. Yeah. Excuse my butt, simply red.
Ow. Thump. So, ladies, what happened exactly?
Well, Poppet, Miss Bangs left us in charge while she went off exploring Kabbalah. Yeah. After she screwed her attorney there, she got kind of obsessed.
Overruled. So which of you claims to be the baby's mother again?
Sorry. Neither. There isn't a baby. Your Worship, darling, do try to keep up. Anyway, while we were Earth's Promethea, we completely ruled.
I have to pause. I'm going to pause.
Right.
We're still hearing him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, I'll call back.
Okay.
Has left the conference.
So why don't you just keep reading?
Okay.
Who's this? Who's this talking?
It'll be the same.
Is it me?
Stacy?
Yes, Stacy.
Oh, I say. We slapped up all these science villain bitches and we handled this possessed mayor. We, like, literally ate the whole gotia. So, then Santa's mom over there shows up, fires us with no notice, and starts this big fight. That must have been what set off the weird Promethea reaction. But we never wanted that. We were just doing our job.
Why do good things happen to bad people? From which I just been unfairly dismissed without due notice. Thank you, ladies. No further questions. without due notice, huh? So you don't know that the official Promethea was returning and that your relief shift was over? That's interesting. Because, you know, I'd have sworn that it was, you asked me to find out when you visited my home and roughed me up. Remember? But hey, no hard feelings. Instead, I'd like to ask about when you took on these temporary duties. Sophie really twisted your arm,
Look, darling, I always enjoyed physical existence. I've never denied it.
And you also come to enjoy Miss Vanderveer, right?
We don't have to answer that.
Frankly, ladies, you don't need to answer that. Okay, so let me see if I have this straight. When Sophie went to help Barbara Shelley, she made sure her earthly duties were covered by suggesting that you two temporarily stepped in. You love the idea.
Cynthia has arrived.
Could be material again. Miss Vanderveer could be a science heroine. And eventually you came to love each other. You realized that when Sophie returned all this world end, and you started that fight hoping it might end in your favor. So, did I miss something out, or is that pretty much it?
You little maggot! You didn't hope. I triumph. I knew. I'm Grace Branagh. I could have filleted her. Jesus, Grace, baby, don't yell. I'm not yelling. I mean...
Thank you. No further questions. Your Worship, I request a short break while I confer with my clan.
Jack, you were great. We can win this.
Sophie, kid, I'm telling you, don't start celebrating yet, okay? The cards look bad on this.
I'm going to lose?
Well, you're up next for cross-examination. But that's not what I said. I said the cards look bad. The Tower, the Ten of Swords, the Aeon. Sophie, I think everybody is going to lose.
Who? What's going on? Did the music wake you up as well?
I hardly sleep since Teddy went into the hospital. Go and check on the children, Henry. Make sure they're all right.
They're gone. God, Prue, the children, our grandchildren. They're all gone.
Look, the patio doors are open. They've gone outside. Help me, Henry. We've got to fetch them. We've got to fetch them inside before they...
Now, don't you let me hear you saying as you weren't warned. Good night, gentlefolk.
Oh, no. Oh, dear God, no. Henry, where's he taken them? All the children. Where did all the children go? Did I let concern...
Miss Banks, are you going to answer the question?
Did I let concern for a friend come before my duties when I went looking for Barbara? Well, I mean, I guess so, but...
Thanks. No further questions, Your Worship. Okay, Sophie. These duties you've been so negligent about, what force is it that imposes them?
What do you mean? Being the earthly Promethea? Well, I suppose that ultimately it's fate or the Godhead or something that decides these things.
Huh? Wait a minute. I thought you said you visited the Godhead with Barbara Shelley. And the Godhead wasn't, like, pissed at you or anything. I mean, which part of it did you speak to? Did I get a name?
Yes. She said I would be the Promethea presiding over the apocalypse, that it would happen in my time. Her name is Babylon.
I see. Well, I imagine that the jury may be distantly familiar with the person that you mentioned. But what about Miss Breganoff and Ms. Vanderveer? Why did you tell them on whose authority you were resuming your appointed tasks?
I did. Stacia said that she and Grace were lovers and that they wouldn't give up the role to anyone. And then we fought. And this Promethea entity inside us suddenly remembered the last time she had been divided and at war against herself. In the Crusades at Antioch, it was terrible. And that's when the original Promethea, the child, began to scream.
Aha! Well, now we're getting to the meat of things. I knew that there'd be a disputed element mixed up in this somewhere.
David?
He continues.
David?
Where am I? Oh, I'm on two pages. Now there is one sure way to settle this. Then I can return to the source of wisdom and eternal copulation with my black love, Sheba. What I propose, we chop the baby in half. We divide the Promethea role between the two claimants.
Darling, we have accepted that to start with only she insisted on being the only Promethea. And me and Grace can stay together. Hey, works for me.
Your worship, my clients accept your verdict and commend you upon your proverbial sagacity. Well, I guess my client can live with that, so...
No. You haven't listened to a word of what I said. What happened at Antioch, what happened with me and Grace and Stacia, that must never happen again. That child, Promethea, she was already divided, chopped in half. That's why she screamed. If Grace and Stacia want this lousy job so badly, they can have it. Just so long as there's only one earthly Promethea, the way there should be.
Perfect. Every time it works like a charm. Miss Magnus is given sole custody of the baby, I mean the duties. For the moment, she and Miss Vanderveer and Mr. Faust will be returned to their earthly homes. Next case.
What? What just happened? Did he just give everything to her after all? But, I mean, this is the American legal system? He can't. Darling, it's not. And he can. He can't fight this decision. Oh, my poor sweetheart. Look, he said you'd be returned to your homes. Let's say goodbye while we can. No, Grace. Jesus. What are you saying? I love you. I don't want to be without you. Sophie Bangs, you effing bitch.
Stace, I'm so sorry.
Come on, Soph.
Don't you effing Stace me, you hypocritical F word. You never want to see. I never want to see you again. Stacia, my love, don't cry. You'll wake up in your own bedroom. It won't be so bad. Just kiss me before it happens.
So that's it? The folks here will just magic everything? So me and Stacia materialize in our own beds? What about you?
Well, already I summoned my own bed. This is just my astral form, remember? I just gotta open my eyes. In fact, I think I'll do that right now. Call me tomorrow, Soph, and we can talk about all this.
Okay, I will. Goodbye, Jack. Thanks for everything. You take care now.
Lisa Ball, Federal Bureau of Investigation. John Barrett, also known as Jack. Did I skip a page?
Yeah. You're right.
You're right.
Okay.
Well, there's the double card, right? If you're aware the double is, you're the right page.
Yeah. Okay. John Barrett, also known as Jack Faust. I'm arresting you for conspiracy likely to cause unrest. Come on, let's go.
Jack?
Lady, I don't know what this is all about, but you got the wrong guy. I just run a tarot reading service. Who am I supposed to have conspired with?
Dr. Vanderveer, also known as Promethea, we have her on security camera visiting you.
Oh,
this is a little more than just uh-oh. See, we read up on you, Mr. Faust, and you don't just run a tarot reading service. Turns out you're a big-time science villain.
Hey, wait now.
America's Worst, that's the science villain syndicate you were in during the 50s. You were hanging out with, let's see, Paul Dorian, Savine, Octavia Price, Edward Flipface, Platy, guys like that.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, the Bureau has a long memory, and now we find you're fraternizing with somebody who wants to end the world. Now, hurry it up. We have more house calls to make.
House calls? What do you mean?
I mean, my partner's picking up Vanderbilt right now, and then we're visiting this Sophie Bang. She's apparently close to. Okay, he's ready. Cuff him and escort him to the vehicle.
What the hell else are you guys looking at? So we're burning witches, huh? So what else is new?
Okay, let's do this. Remember, this is the dangerous one. Forget she looks like a teenage girl. She can turn into a demoness just by drawing something in a sketch pad. It's vital we don't let her do that. Right, here goes.
Yes? Wait a minute, where are you?
Karen Poodle, FBI, we're here to see your daughter.
Stacia? I think she's still in bed. I didn't hear her come home last night. Look, what's this about? You just can't barge into our home.
Yes, we can. Could somebody take Mr. and Mrs. Vanderveer outside, please? Okay, this must be the daughter's room. Ready on my command. No!
Man, let go of us. This is...
FBI! Last panel. Now we're on the first panel. From the bottom.
Bottom, okay.
FBI, freeze! Stacia Vanderveer, also known as Promethea, we're placing you under arrest.
Well, who the F is this? I can't see anything. Let me just...
Agent Bruegel, she's going for the sketch pad. Oops. Oh, shit, oh, fuck me! Get the paramedics here, fast!
There goes the father. What was that? What was that shot, Stacia?
Sir?
Ma'am?
Stacia?
That's you again.
Then it's Trish.
Oh, baby. Something's coming. I know it. Baby, you got to get out of here. Mom, what? Sophie, I just saw that stuff on TV yesterday. And I was standing here when you just appeared. Now, just now. Baby, I can feel it. There's trouble. And it's going to be here soon. I love you, baby. You got to go. The back window, Mom? You sure about this? Sophie, I'm your mom. There's dogs coming for my daughter, and I just know. Look, here's money. Leave the city. When you call, hang up. Don't speak. I'll know it's you.
Oh, Sophie. This is a texture. And the city comes together in support of Uvala Cascade, former adult entertainer and New York's new mayor. Commenting on her electoral majority, Miss Cascade said, "Ooh, it's so big. Give it to me. Oh, yes. Oh, good." This is texture. Following the failure of the New York comeback gig, Limp frontman Money Stikes says, "I quit the music business." Asked his reasons, Stikes said, "It's my bittersweet little 16 nervous breakdown, lar." This is texture. Meanwhile, in other news, five swell guys, Genius Marv, the black one, Hamilton, announced today that he's abandoning the hunt for Bruno Jellyhead Similek's murderer. "Look, we have no leads. Our only suspect, the painted doll, remains apparently dead. That's it. Show's over." This is texture. In breaking news, we have reported FBI's drawn raids connected with the being called the Promethea terror attack in New York yesterday. Two women and one man, said to be a major science villain, are reportedly being questioned by authorities. More on that story as we hear it. This is texture. Uba loves you. End of book four.
Get euphoria. 1-800-555-1111. Okay.
It's so ironic, as we do have a madam running for governor in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand it. You did you watch the debates where they all got together? It was sort of like a regular
circus. Yes, it was a circus. It really was.
Particularly the guy who was running on the free rent or fix the rent.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Rent.
Yeah.
The rent's too damn high.
Right.
Actually, we used to have elections like that all the time in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's gotten like that in New York now.
Yeah.
Everyone but one guy spoke very eloquently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, elections are street theater, which is just a bad move when you think about it.
Yeah.
So,
but confusing.
Yeah. So basically what we're left with is Sophie, because of her mother's diligence or vigilance, is going on the lam, and we'll deal with what happens to her. She gets away, whereas the other people get somewhat incapacitated by being hamstrung by the FBI. Jack Faust, innocent that he is. Just a little tarot reader.
It's so interesting how they're bringing in the whole thing. It has this apocalyptic feel. And I don't know. I just think it's just so current to what's happening in the news, and even for flu shots, they're trying to terrorize us into getting flu shots.
On
buttons here in New York,
if you're over 55, they want you to take an extra special hot flu shot. One that's three times stronger than the regular flu shot.
I think they just didn't get rid of enough of it with the West Nile virus or whatever, and the pharmaceutical companies have to unload.
Yeah.
Whatever. I could be wrong, of course, but, you know, forever suspicious is part of my middle name.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on in this thing, I mean, with the pictures and so forth. I think one of the things I wanted to point out is, which is one of the visual treasures in this thing, that are the renditions of the tarot cards in this, particularly the devil. And I think the next one was it the Hanged Man was the next one?
Well, the devil, I think, was the last one, or the first one. I think it was the last one.
And there's the Hanged Man and the Tower. That's right. So we got three cards. The Devil, the Tower, and the Hanged Man.
But is it, I don't remember. He mentioned the Ten of Swords, right, Jack Fowler?
Oh, mm-hmm.
But we don't get to see it visually.
But you can see them visually on page 373 of the of the note, and also you can also see the tarot card that's also mentioned before that, which is the adjustment card, which is the judgment card. When Solomon, I guess what it simply says, you can't teach old dogs new tricks, or old tricks do just as well in all situations.
I'm interested in the musical notes, where the Pied Piper comes in.
Oh, yeah.
That was gorgeous.
I don't know. I mean, anyone a musician? I'm not,
No, I don't know, but it would be interesting to know whether those notes square up with the tarot card.
I have a feeling it's a Bach fugue.
A Bach fugue? What's that one?
I don't know why, but I just have a feeling.
I think it's probably either the cards or the Pied Piper.
It mentions something about it in the PDF.
Oh, it does?
The music is in common time in the key of F major.
Clementine?
No, in common time. In common time.
Okay. Actually, that's Greek to me.
Well,
it mentions that music is an actual composition. Todd Klein found it, but for life of me, I can't remember. Oh, no.
Hmm. Because it has a lot of, listen, anyone who has a music friend, or someone who can read.
Right.
I would be interested to find out what it is. If it's in common time.
Like a wind on a white noise on the line?
Yeah, I'm hearing it too.
Something's going on.
Did anyone go outside?
No.
My heat just popped on.
Okay, oh, it just went away.
It calmed down. Then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it was. Yes, that's true. You know, when we work with these alternate technologies, they aren't terribly reliable, so that it does make for some strange things. So, does anybody got anything else they want to say about the story before we go back and look at the... the cards that we drew.
I was interested in the remark you made, Paul, about how the immateria the laws of immateria followed the laws of Malkuth, and the laws of Malkuth followed the laws of immateria. Did I get that right?
How was that?
You expressed that during the reading.
Earlier, yeah. What I was saying is that the laws of the immateria are different than the laws of Malkuth.
Oh, you were saying they were different. I had heard you to say they were the same, and I was wondering how they were the same.
Well, they're not. The one of the ways is that. People in the immateria try to make the immateria conform to the laws of Malkuth, and that's a form of delusion. likewise, people in Malkuth trying to make things conform to the laws of the Immateria would be considered,
so you're saying,
in Malkuth, nuts.
You're saying, well, that's arguable. You're saying that the Prometheus, when they enter Malkuth, are operating on the laws of Immateria, so things go wild. And likewise, when Sophie, Stasia, Barbara go into Immateria, they have to learn the laws of Immateria, which are cabalistic in this case.
Yeah, Sam Lewis said, he's a Sufi mystic that started the Sufi dancing. He used to say things like, mysticism is controlled schizophrenia. And what he meant by that was, which, you know, I wouldn't totally subscribe to that view today, but what he meant by that is that the mystical realms that you go through, which are similar here to the areas of the Immateria, is like being crazy. But the difference is that you realize that you're in a different realm, and that different laws and different causalities apply, and that you don't confuse them. Going crazy or being crazy is when you can't distinguish between the two.
Right.
They all seem to blur.
Exactly. And the Immateria becomes a materia and doesn't have its own special place in your consciousness.
Yeah, and it lacks that special place. It's sort of like having a leaky Athenor or something.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in seeing who the people on the bench. Oh, I'm sorry, the jury is. I'm on new medication, so my head's not really. The people on the jury, if you look at the illustrations, there's a man. Who's that man? I don't know. I mean, I didn't look at the...
I have to go back to the... This is Promethea Higher Court has some of the jury in it. And, all sorts of...
I know Medusa. And there's...
Yeah, Medusa's obviously the big bad wolf, the all-seeing eye.
Mm-hmm.
Sherlock Holmes. A woman in Perda. I don't know who the woman in the background is. Santa Claus. Look at him. Boy, he looks tough. Thomas Jefferson. I don't know who the clown is. The guy in the background there. And then on the other side, looks like we got Aleister Crowley. By the way, if you look at this, all of these are identified or conjectured.
In the PDF?
Discussed in the PDF.
Yes, okay.
And it's a little Red Riding Hood. Dumbo the Clown.
Oh, I see. You're looking... Okay, I'm looking in the text itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay.
That's the frontispiece. Mm-hmm. You're looking in other places.
Right, mm-hmm.
Let me look and see if I can find another place where this jury occurs. And there's...
On page 362, they're talking about the panel.
Yeah. And
I know what common time is now.
What's common time?
It's 4 beats to the measure.
Oh, it's all right.
So that's like a jingle.
Yeah. Like, because you got two half notes. You have a half note, a pause, which you would consider, and then a full note. I did take violin at one time for 3 years, you know. And then it speeds up to eighth notes there. Yeah, okay, gotcha. Common time for.
Okay. Did you get the sense that when our Solomon was pronouncing his verdict, he changed it in the middle?
He what? He changed?
When Solomon was pronouncing his verdict,
mm-hmm.
it sounded like initially, you know, he was going with, you know, he was going to let the status quo stay so that both Prometheus could exist.
Right. He decided not to really get rid of anything. Let them work it out themselves.
Yeah, and then Sophie Promethea gives this impassioned speech about the separated Prometheus, which was in the last chapter, and.
Well, basically, he's the Demiurge, almost, the Solomon character.
Charm. Every time it works, like a charm. Miss Bangs is given sole custody of the baby, I mean, of the duties, you know. So, in other words, so he went from one verdict to the exact opposite.
He flip-flopped.
Yep.
Yes.
I think he did the first verdict. I thought it was only me. That, you know, I hadn't read it right, but thank goodness I have a more.
Yeah, like the toss of the die. Like, you see, there's dice, flying dice there when he gives.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she made this truly impassioned speech, which would make sense, and she had all the facts ready,
mm-hmm.
he said, so what? You work it out. Almost like that's what I, that's where you get the Blakean thing, like, oh, you know,
right.
the lawgiver as really doesn't give a hoot.
Right.
Yeah,
but I'm confused. So now Sophie's out on the lam, and Stacia has been shot. Who's Promethea?
Who's Promethea? Sophie Bangs is Promethea.
According
to Solomon.
The way I read that is that Sophie Bangs was given the final verdict.
Yeah.
Miss Bangs was given sole custody.
Yeah.
So, I think he said as a trick when he said, we'll divide it. They'll both be Promethea. And then Sophie comes up. Big speech, and that was the King Solomon was dividing
that's
the same thing. That's the same thing. Remember, that's the classic. It's following the order of the folktale, right? In Solomon, in which he says, "You've only got one baby, and you both claim that you're the mother."
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to divide the baby in half. And so that was his, we'll let you both have it.
And then the real mother says,
no. This is what's going on. You know, so forth and so on. And he says, okay, well, you know, if you're, and of course in the folk story, what the real mother says is, no, don't kill the child. I would rather have the child live with this imposture than to have the child die. And he says, well, obviously, if that's the case, you must be the real mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's more important than the. In the comic book, he had
changed his mind. I don't think he ever changed his mind. He never changed his verdict. He hadn't made it yet.
Uh-huh.
Until Sophie came up with a, no, this can't be done this way. I'll do it myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then he made his verdict.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and of course the issue here is it's the divided Sophia between the Muslim and the Christian Sophia at the Battle of Antioch, which
mm-hmm.
we talked about last couple weeks ago. So, okay, well, I don't know. So let's go back again to the...
to the reading?
The cards that we drew. And look again at the thing. So we have the first one. Oops, I'm looking at the wrong place.
Well, end up with a dead Stacia, the way the blood was splattered.
I don't think Stacia is killed.
You get the sense.
She's a cantankerous to be killed. But we have, okay, so let's talk about, here again, Six of Cups. What do you think pleasure means in this case? Now, you see, now, if I read this, I'm going to forget the term pleasure and just read the Six of Cups. For me, the Six of Cups is sort of where things proliferate. This is a creative time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way I read Cups and Six. Is, you know, it's a time when things generate. There's a strong regeneration. You know, to the degree that Five of Cups is sort of deals with loss and deficit to a degree. It's actually not a deficit so much as it is a new organization which isn't stable yet. And with the Six of Cups, it's moving towards stability. You know, it's and in that case, it represents procreation, you know, and so then, and of course, it's in fire, which means that this is a motive. You know, the motive here is, and in that way, we could say that in some ways, if it's in fire and it's Six of Cups, given the context, this is almost saying that the world wants itself to end.
Well, that's
like
the Gnostic theme.
Says,
yeah.
I want the world itself wants itself to end.
That is a belief system amongst some people. But when I hindsight being 2020,
right.
When I look at the pleasure Six of Cups toss card now, I think to myself, pleasure at whose expense?
In terms of this trial, in particular.
Correct.
Yeah.
That would be how I would read that now.
Well, also, they did get pleasure being Prometheus.
Yes.
No question about it.
Yeah, I mean,
Thea were happily lovers, and of course that actually seems to work very well with this Eight of Swords.
Right.
In which you have both of them are sort of, if we see Prometheus having some kind of transcendent function, not using that term the way Carl Jung did. He has a famous essay called The Transcendent Function. But you know, having a sense of things. Then the Eight of Swords is both a movement towards that transcendent function, but it's also one which is kind of divided against itself. It's sort of like having, you know, it's sort of like seeing a circle, and, you know, the circle is giving birth to another circle, and then the two circles look at each other and say, which one is first? Actually, that reminds me of that weird dream I had a couple days ago, which is very short, so I can give it to you. I did have it up on Facebook. I'm looking in a mirror, and I'm looking closely at my face and looking into my eyes. And I see my lips move, and I hear my voice say, "Who am I?" And then the image in the mirror turns around and walks away, and I'm looking through a window.
Huh.
Where did I go? The reason I bring that up is the eight, particularly as the you know, the lemniscate on its head, is very much a mirror in a mirror, which is kind of what that dream also related to. That's the reason why.
And mirrors are an occult tool, and
in the sword sense here, this is where, because in some ways you could, say that they both could be divided, but of course what happened from the last chapter we read is that we, you know, discovered that when Prometheus is divided against herself without knowing it, when she was both a Muslim and a Christian, it drove her crazy. She didn't want to be divided like that again. You know, this is the issue. And of course, then the Ace of Swords, classically, almost means in the arc of the story, would almost mean the judgment. You know, And then, of course, then the three of swords as sorrow would represent, well...
Yeah, the outcome of the judgment.
Well, yeah, which is they all get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, and Sophie goes on the lam.
I love thinking of the Ace of Swords as cutting the Gordian knot. You know what I'm saying? That
yeah.
There's a lot of confusion in the situation, but some action has to be taken, and sometimes it has to be a severity of action.
Yeah, and the classic Gordian knot is that most people attempted to untie the Gordian knot by, you know, picking at its edges, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the solution of the Gordian knot thing, or at least the solution that Alexander the Great used, is he just cut the knot in twain with a sword.
Yes, sir.
Which is thinking outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, the line, the elemental spread line for me, feels like a, what's the word? The negrito in an alchemical process.
Mm.
And this goes back to what you were saying earlier, Cynthia, about the Prince of Wands, or Princess of Cups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being, you know, representing a sort of great work there.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the great work.
I think you said that. I was saying who is the prince in service to, and in this case it would be art or temperance, which is an alchemical.
Yeah.
It can be taken as an alchemical card.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just thinking of that you know, for the alchemical process to work, you know, and that way,
the princess,
the temperance or art represents the Athenor, the container for which this boiling down and breaking apart of elements takes place. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like your death before you learn how to die. It's where all elements are reduced to their dysfunctional limits, and then they're reamalgamated into something.
Does anyone have any ideas to why no pentacles came up in our reading? No.
I have to leave. I have a cracked skylight, and I have to get it fixed before the ring comes this weekend.
Oh, boy.
So
okay.
I have to get out of here. I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Okay. Take care.
So that's actually a perfect reason for... why no pentacles? Is that we are dealing.
Morning, Paul. This is David.
Has left the conference.
We're dealing with the realities of the immateria rather than the irrealities of the Malkuth.
Yeah. We're totally in the immateria, the judgment of the immateria.
Yeah, even the understanding that the great work takes place within temperance, and temperance here is the Athenor, is the container that this thing takes place in. And if you're there, you can do this, I wouldn't say with safety, but I would say that you're more likely to have a containable outcome, you know, that'll come to something. In that situation, then if you don't have an Athenor, if you don't have this containment with temperance and art, then of course what happens is everything falls apart, and it's insanity because you can't tell, you know, you can't tell the difference between, you know, the ways of Malkut and the ways of dream.
So in a sense, one of the chalices or cups of the temperance or art card would be Malkuth, and the other would be immateria.
Mm-hmm.
In the context of our chapter and our reading. And we're trying to make this work in Malkuth, kind of, and or return to Malkuth from immateria, bringing immateria with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at the end of the chapter, it all goes to hell, so to speak.
Yep.
Well, it does, but again, we do know that, again, and this is where the arc of influence, in other words, we can say that, although this is all gone, you know, this is difficult, you know.
Well, what you're saying when you read the cards that way, and it's very interesting, you're saying that the arc of influence is the influence coming towards you from the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an explanation of why the future is what it is.
Yeah.
Many times...
Is that the way you design the reading?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, because many times we question why is the future outcome that way?
Yeah.
And we don't know.
Yeah, somebody just got the first four cards, right, didn't get five or six of the arc.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a pretty bleak reading.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. Which is kind of what happened here. It's kind of bleak. I mean, this chapter just taken by itself was kind of bleak.
Uh-huh.
But once we looking more deeply at that hidden motivation of the Prince of Wands, so what I think is interesting from my point of view is the prince has the functions of the knight. And from my point of view, the knight is either the servant of the king, you know, doing the king's bidding, or is a wannabe king.
See, now, for me, the knight,
mm-hmm.
and definitely the top princes, visually,
right.
are aligned with the chariot.
Well, yeah, they're movement cards. Yeah.
Right. For me, particularly in this deck,
right.
And I do feel that if I were looking at, because I do feel the tower is the, like Mary Greer and Tom Tassett Little put it in their core card book, the tower is the house of the core cards, the chariot major is the transportation, and you could think of it as trans, T-R-A-N-C-E, or trans, T-R-A-N-S, portation,
mm-hmm.
Back and forth from the
sure.
two.
Sure.
So, and the tower in that sense doesn't have as bleak an image, or does it? Because it depends on what world view the cards are represented. So it's interesting. It's just very interesting.
And then
the service is interesting.
And then one of the things we can do now, if we want to, is having taken our own reading, let's go and look at the Faust reading.
Mm-hmm.
Which starts with the tower. You know, as
tower, hangman, no, it was Ten of
tower,
Swords.
Ten of
tower,
Swords, and Aeon.
Right.
And Aeon is the judgment. So we're at basically at a Ten of Swords moment here.
So we did have judgment.
Everything falls apart is our
mm-hmm.
original understanding of the Ten of Swords.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ruin. But it's also an ending.
Mm-hmm.
The Ten of Swords precedes the Ace of Swords.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I tend to read the Ten as what I call a re-beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you begin again. And then, of course, the other card that we have here is the Eight of Adjustment, which is the Justice card.
Who is that?
That's if you're looking at the PDF file, it's on next page. Next
okay.
page.
Okay.
374, 373 is where the other things are. And then if we go into the Promethea, we have three cards laid out quite. We have the Devil laid out, which is where Jack Faust gets arrested. We have the Tower, which is where Stacy gets arrested. And we have the Hanged Man, which is where Sophia goes on the lam.
Am I wrong, but is this chapter revealing the most cards in a spread? of any chapter that we've done so far?
Well, also, if you look at these cards, they're artistically, they're not the Toth cards.
Oh, no, no.
And I think that's an interesting point. Like, the hanged man is definitely could be a Sophie hanging upside down there. The tower looks very much like the lightning very much looks like that could have been the plane going into the World Trade Center and the person falling off of it.
This is this post 2001?
It sure is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we have that interesting image of the devil, in which he's holding these chains, these two man and woman sort of on a thing. And it's actually, and there's a book, Hymns of the Star of the Goddess, which is not by 13th, which is Akkad. I think that's an actual Aleister Crowley tract, if I'm not mistaken. But again, it's probably the notes in the PDF probably deal with that someplace. But I thought so. In some ways, we could take those cards as commentaries on our own draw.
Like an exegesis.
Or as in some ways is our draw of reading of each chapter represents an exegesis of our reading of the chapter.
That would be to me that's an overwhelming amount of cards. But because Johanna's reading has the arc of influence in it, I almost feel that an exegesis is extraneous, because another way of reading the arc of influence is to say it's the exegesis, the explanation.
I suppose
and,
so.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's read it that way.
But taking the PDF reading on its own merit. I don't know whether I to tell you the truth, working with the nine cards has been really good for me, because I really don't like to work with this many cards. And now I'm really comfortable working with nine cards. But to add more would be like the tenth card, it would just make things fall apart.
Well, every card has a commentary. That's my... I actually read nine cards now all the time.
Uh-huh.
Thank you,
Johanna, for making us go that route.
Yeah, I don't follow Johanna's... spread number. What I do is I do a nine card reading, with the center card being the issue or the person, and then surrounding it all. Eventually, you have nine cards, which represent a variety of influences.
So there are actually 10 cards.
No, there's actually nine cards.
So what's person? And then there are eight
two,
cards
three,
around it.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So it's 3x3. It's a 3x3 reading.
Okay.
And I like to read it that way, because then I read it up and down, and I read it diagonally. And
Robert Place's way of reading.
Yeah, and I like reading that way, because
mm-hmm,
it gives me
mm-hmm.
a lot of information.
Right, it does.
I mean, just in terms of the way the cards run. But, of course, when we're reading Johanna's thing, we do the same thing in a way.
We read up and down
and sideways
right.
and so forth.
Right.
Yeah.
It throws me with nine, like you. I think when I think of nine, I think of three and three and three, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So starting off with the four cards, Yad Heh Vav Heh, and the elemental, breaks that. So your mind is immediately forced to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I was thinking of doing was doing doing an elemental spread, but it would be up and down, and it would be 12 cards then.
That's almost like a Celtic, reading your own kind of Celtic cross. That's a very interesting thing.
I'm sticking with nine right now.
I like the number nine because it's consciousness.
and completion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has.
I mean, and, you know, 12, you know, though it does represent a complete arc in terms of
the zodiac
and, mm-hmm. and you can bring in that astrological
mm-hmm.
12 house symbolism if you want to, which is just pretty makes your reading pretty intense. Let's see. A couple of things I want to bring that are a little extraneous to Promethea, but do represent, we're probably, assuming no more major breaks, in other words, we're considering, we will probably finish Promethea at the beginning, in the first or second week of December is the way I think I figured it out. We'll obviously take a break then, in December, and probably start something up in starting in January. We'll start something up again on an evening. Tuesday night is the night we seem to have set aside for this. And we're toying with a variety of ideas in terms of what to do next for studying. Eventually, we're going to go back to Meditations on the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
I just let people know that. And by the way, there is a Yahoo group, Meditations on the Torah, and it's been slightly active in the last month or so.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple used to follow it, but I haven't followed it in a long time.
Yeah, well, I'm just mentioning it. It's kind of moribund, but there's a couple of people going on and inquiring into different aspects of the Meditations on the Torah. The thing that I had as an alternative, it's a little more complex than what we've done in the past. It's actually simpler.